Thank you again to everybody who's read, helped us open the meeting. And I will just remind people that we don't use video in this in our meetings. So we're glad you're here. But if it's turned off, please don't turn it back on. And welcome to those that have joined us since we first started. And a huge welcome to any visitors to our meeting tonight. And an even bigger welcome to any newcomers that might be with us this evening. We hope you're going to hear something that's going to encourage you to keep coming back. And our speaker has come, I'm delighted to say. So I'm gonna ask Michael if he would introduce our speaker tonight. So over to you, Michael.
Thank you, Steve, for my magic name, Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Michael.
And after untold diligence to get this gentleman to speak for me, speak for us, I'm ever so grateful he is here. When I first got clean in Sacramento and started going to NA, I met this man at a service committee meeting, and I loved his patience and his serenity, which is one of the main reasons why I was attracted to what he had. So I hope that he doesn't mind me saying that he's been truly an inspiration for me, and I haven't stuck around here without a great deal of his words of wisdom. So I'm turning it over to Mark S. So Mark, it's your turn. Cheers.
Hi, everybody. My name is Mark S. I'm an addict.
Hello, Michael.
Hi,
welcome.
Hello,
Mark.
Hello, Mark.
Hello, Michael.
Hello, Mark.
So thanks for the introduction, Michael. I'm just waking up, so if I sound like I'm still asleep, it's probably because that's what's real. I don't know. I got clean in 1985 after 25 years and 76 days of using. I was not quite 31 at the time. And all you eggheads out there, that means that I started getting loaded at a very young age and really didn't grow up. Always thought that I knew the way, always looking for the quick way out. And so that led me down a number of rough roads. And I went down pretty far enough that when I got a doctor's appointment 4 years after getting clean, after having my first physical since I was a kid, I don't even know if I have them as a kid, I don't remember any, but the first physical that I ever paid for, the doctor told me, son, you got to stop drinking. And At that time, I was 4 years clean. And I said, I did. He said, when? I said, 4 years ago. He says, well, I don't normally say this to people, but then you have to stop doing drugs. And I really mean this. And I said, I did. He said, when? I said, 4 years ago. And he shook his head. He didn't say a word, shook his head, walked out of the room and left me there. And he came back about 5 minutes later. By that time, I was pretty sure that I was, a candidate for the morgue. And he says, can I ask you some questions? I said, sure. So he asked me a bunch of questions about my skin and my, whether my hands ever shook, if I ever got DTs and this and that, and what drugs I used. So about 20 or 30 questions later, he scratched his head, stood up, didn't say a word, walked out of the room. And I'm like, oh God, I've really done it. And he came back in and he says, by my closest calculations, he says, your liver was about 5% operational when you quit. He says, if you, your liver functions not too bad right now. He says, and you're lucky because the liver is one of the organs that repairs the fastest and the most. So, In another 4 years, get a physical, and that'll be your norm. And I'm like, oh, geez. You know, he says, if you start drinking, he says, you probably got about 6 months to live. So, as a good addict always does, following directions, it was 8 years till I had my next physical, and I had a different doctor, and he asked me why I wanted the full study, and I says, I don't want to taint the results, so let's leave that conversation until after we get the results back. And so when we got the results, he says, all right, tell me. And I said, I told him that story that I just told you guys. And he says, well, there's nothing wrong with your liver at all. So, good genes, I guess. I don't know. Very fortunate to have stopped. I didn't stop because I wanted to stop. I stopped because I was living in my mom's house by that point, unemployed, nursing a broken leg. And in debt, all bank accounts overdrawn. I really had no way out except to let my mother take me to meetings for a month and then to continue going to meetings on my own. And somewhere along the line, I found the desire. I had been going to meetings court-ordered for years due to some legal problems, and but never had the desire. Always had a better idea in my own mind, but I got the desire sometime while I was going to being dragged to meetings by my mom every night, and so there it happened. It was real foggy back then. I don't remember a whole lot. I was introduced to my wife, my then, well, my only married wife. Her mother and my mother knew each other through another fellowship, and both had about 10 years. And we didn't get together right away, but that's where I got introduced to her as well. So, and I tell you, when I was real clean, I wasn't real clear. I'd been using as much of anything I could get my hands on as possible for as long as I could remember. And so when I stopped all that, I didn't use any DRTs or any of that kind of stuff. When I stopped all that, I went through some withdrawals, and I basically went to meetings, read the book, and hid in my bed. That's what I did for probably a little over a month anyway. And I found my first sponsor because of his war story, not because of his recovery. Because I identified with that. I said, well, at least he'd understand. When I listened to his war story, at least he'd understand me. Because he'd gone down some pretty long and dark roads too. That's all I knew about. So I didn't really know what to expect from recovery. When I got there, I had no higher power. The only principle I had was feed me. The NA book talks about our skills are reduced to animal level. Mine definitely were. That's pretty much what I was. I was an addict. I used anything and everything every way I could, and I was destroying myself. So the skipping on to the good part, I guess. There's two lines in the basic text that still mean the most to me. And pardon me. One is about how an addict, any addict, can get the desire to stay clean, stay that way, and find a new way of life. Because I always thought, not me. When I went to other fellowships, when I went to, even when I went to NA, I always thought, not me. And I'm not going to aggrandize myself by saying if I could do it, anybody do it could do it. But, you know, I didn't think I had any hope. So I guess along with the desire, I got the hope as well. Early on, completely without merit, but I got some. The other line that means the most to me is the one about what will get in the way of our recovery. One thing more than anything else that will defeat us in our recovery is an attitude of indifference or intolerance towards spiritual principles. And that was like a that was like a double-edged sword to me. I mean, because at first, without any understanding or connection with a higher power, it cut against me, but it also can cut against the disease. And so I opened my mind to that. And I mean, I talked to people of all different faiths. I talked to American Indians. I talked to Sikhs. I talked to, begrudgingly, I talked to Christians, begrudgingly, because that's the way I was raised and it didn't work that time. Eventually, I came to an understanding that made sense to me, something I could depend on, put some faith in, and so now I had the desire and the hope and the faith. So, March 10th, 1985 is because, is written in my, in the front of my basic text, a third edition, not a third edition, revised. And the way it's written in there, if you can, visualize, is, a three and a dash and a zero with a one squeezed in front of it, and a dash and 85. And the reason the one got squeezed in there was 9 days into my attempt at getting clean on the first, I found myself at a dance, an NA dance, and my sponsor says, go dance with a girl or you're dancing with me. And he was a big biker, and I just couldn't see that being a thing. And so I went and asked girls to dance, and after a while I started asking other questions, and then after a while I was getting slapped, because you can have anything you want in A, right? And anyway, I didn't wind up staying at that dance, and I didn't wind up really becoming conscious until I had a bottle up to my lips and a warm sensation going down my throat, and then a mouthful of what I didn't know what to do with, a big question mark in my mind, for the first time in my life, what am I going to do with this mouthful? And I think that broke me. I think that made me realize just how powerless I am. Because I don't remember the progression of driving home, getting into the kitchen, turning on the light, the door, getting the bottle out of the cabinet, or unscrewing the lid, or putting it up to my lips. So I have a lot of, because of that experience and others were very close calls. That was more than a close call, but there are many other close calls during my early years that really made an impact on me. And I realized that, I have to want this more than I want any quick, simple way out, more than any drug, more than any relief, more than any desire to be loaded. My desire to stay clean has to be above and stronger and nurtured more than any other. So that's what I've done. I mean, I have literally driven over 50 miles in the evening at after midnight in order to go to somebody's house to stay clean. I've also done that. I've also driven a long way to help somebody else stay clean in the middle of the night. At direction, I've gotten on my knees repeatedly for a 5 hour stint. Getting a call. You still on your knees? Yeah. Do you get an answer yet? No. Get back on your knees. Click. Like that for 5 hours until an answer happened. And I still get the desire once in a while. It hasn't been completely removed for me. I still get the notion that, gee, I could, this pot's been legalized here. Gee, I could go do this and that. And, gee, wouldn't that be fun and all that? I mean, I'm retired and disabled now. Not completely, but I am disabled. And, would it be fun? I don't know. My head tells me so. My heart tells me no. That wouldn't be a good idea. It's not constant. The desires don't last long, or the compulsions, they don't last long. And they're easily, so far, they're easily combated and easily reasoned out, and either with the mind or with prayer. And by God's grace, I'm still clean today. So I'm still married. I'm retired, thanks to the help of the social workers, because I had no ability to fill out the paperwork. I have two kids that are both grown. One just returned home. One's still living at home. They have their stuff, but I have enough income that it's not a burden. I mean, I don't have toys, boats, and motorcycles and all that kind of stuff, but it's not a burden having them here. I love them to death. I love my wife to death, and I'm so grateful to be clean. Was blessed to be able to retire from a career that I could work 22 years actively at, and have enough of a disability in retirement to live comfortably. This is not a design that I put in place. I mean, each step along the way, I was praying and I was asking for guidance and wondering if the answers and the direction I'd been given were the right one, and just kind of blindly followed it step by step. And even to the point of the woman I married, and whether I was going to stay there when I found out I was having a daughter instead of another son. You know, all kinds of crossroads happened where I relied heavily on guidance from what I believe is the higher power, and here I am, you know, still clean. Right now I have a few sponsees. When we retired, when we got the disability, I got back pay for quite a few years, and so we had enough money to put down on a house, and we moved up into the woods out of the cities. We moved up into the woods, and you know, right now I'm looking out of what seems to be a second story, even though there isn't a first floor, because it's a very hilly out into my front yard in the woods. And couldn't be better. You know, it couldn't be better. I'm not saying there aren't problems, but in all honesty, it couldn't be better. It isn't a plan that I had in mind that got me here. It was all by direction, and all by guidance. Without NA, I couldn't have done it. Without coming to an understanding, opening my mind to the possibility of higher power, and finally coming to an understanding of it, I think it took about 3 years to develop that to where it was something that was static, something that was understood. But with opening my mind to a higher power and following directions of my sponsor, my first sponsor I had for 5 years, and you know, he pulled no punches. He told me the truth, and you know, so that was he was rough around the edges too. He only had a year clean, but back in 85, if you had a year clean, you were really something. So you know, I listened to him. I did service at area level, group level, area level, regional level, and world level. And I still do service as a sponsor to a few people. I don't seem to have the wherewithal to do service in an elected position. Because all the politics that I've been involved in with that. So, but I'm able to be a sponsor, and I do that with a few gentlemen. I've kind of gotten to the point, and I guess this will wrap it up. I've kind of gotten to a point where I don't work the steps. I live the steps. I live the program. It seems like on a daily basis, I go through each step, sometimes multiple times, but at least once each day. That's kind of ingrained as a process. With this COVID thing, it's been impossible to get out to meetings for a while. But I connect with other addicts, talk about program online and on the phone and in person with the people that I sponsor. I mean, even without live meetings, I'm not on edge and about to get loaded or anything like that, and neither are the people that I work with. Imagine that. I mean, because, you know, when I was new, I went to multiple meetings daily, partly because I wasn't tightly enough wrapped to hold a job for quite a few months. But I mean, I was going to 3, 4, sometimes 5 meetings a day, sometimes only one, but you know, usually multiple meetings every day for my first year or so, and because that's what I needed. You know, that's what I needed. It didn't mean that I needed to speak at each one. It didn't mean that I need to, you know, make sense of each one. But if I went there and I listened and I talked to the people that struck a nerve after the meeting, I wound up learning a lot. I wound up getting what I needed, at least to stay clean to the next meeting, but sometimes with lessons that I still use. So I think it takes a lot to stay clean if you're if you're new and struggling. That's because you're supposed to. If you're if you've got time and you're bored, do something, you know, get active. Yeah, nothing's going to change unless something changes. So, you know, there's been quite a few times where I've had to switch up what I'm doing so that my recovery was alive. And because without it, doctor said I'd have 6 months to live. You know, whether that's true or not, I don't know. I'm not going to test it. I'd rather stay clean. I'd rather have a life where feelings are not a curse. I'd rather live a life where I'm not ashamed of what the decisions that I'm making. I'd rather be a man of principle. Whether it's religious or not is irrelevant. I'd rather be a man of principle and pass that on, not just to people in the program, but to my kids. So, yeah, that's me in May of 2021, after getting clean on the 10th of March, finally, in 1985. And, you know, I hope I said something that reaches somebody. And I wish you all the best. And thanks for the opportunity to speak. I think that's it for me.